You're listening to the More Time, More Profit podcast, the best place for entrepreneurs who are looking to grow past the startup phase of their business, but still need to learn how to free up more time to drive more profit. Now, present these real strategies, your successful business coaches and hosts, Adam John and Grant Muriel.
Welcome to More Time, More Profit, episode number 60. Today's show, we're talking about systemology, 7 steps to systemize any business with David Jennings. My name is Adam John, and as always, I'm joined by Mr. Grant Merrill. What's going on, Grant?
Not much, buddy. Systems, processes, standard operating procedures, checklists, etc. The list of how you scale a business just goes on and on. So before we jump into this episode, download the 7 parts to follow along with us so that you don't lose any value as we walk through it. Just go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/060 for episode 60.
So today we're talking about systemizing our business and our processes. Back in episode number 12, we took you through the importance of processes and how to create them, but I'll give you a quick recap now. A business process is a step-by-step training guide for any task. It could be a video, Word document with screenshots, and if you think of any recipe you've ever followed, this is a process. Now, you'll often hear Grant and myself refer to McDonald's when it comes to processes because they are one of the best examples out there. If you think about McDonald's, they hire students, it's often their first job, and they generally live at home with no cooking skills or ability at all. Many years ago, the founders of McDonald's made the hamburgers themselves, but it just wasn't scalable. In order to expand and move to a franchise model, they needed to be able to train new staff effectively in different countries with different languages and produce a consistent result or hamburger. Could you imagine the problem McDonald's would face if the business owners didn't process, if they didn't deliver a consistent result, or if they kept cooking burgers themselves rather than concentrating on growth? So with that quick rundown of processes out of the way, today we'll look at systemizing your processes. Grant, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, mate. Look, I couldn't agree more. Systems are one of the key ways that everyone can scale their business. However, a lot of people build all of their internal systems or either checklists or processes that are actually quite complex to follow, which means it's step 1, 2, 3, and 4. There's actually a bit of an art to this, and it's finding that balance between training, processes, documentation, and systemization, right? So let me explain this a little bit. So imagine we walk into McDonald's as a new cook. We go and get given a stack of 5 checklists, how to turn on the fryer, how to cook with the fryer, how to clean the fryer, etc. And then the gentleman just walks away and says, if there's anything else you need me to do, just reach out to me. And then we're left to our own devices. Now, obviously, this does not work because we need the formal system around exactly what do we do with this process? How do we actually learn the context of what we're doing, the reason behind it, some pitfalls, or even some decisions around what we need to do if X scenario happens or Y occurs? And this is how your team members are actually probably feeling quite complex or even confused in the roles that you've put them in, because you potentially have completely missed the context of what they need to be working on. You've probably never sat them down and walked through them how to do it or even created a buddy system. And they're probably too concerned to actually go and raise their hand and ask you a question, especially if they're brand new to the job, right? So it's really this art of systemology, which I can't wait to run through in this episode, where us as entrepreneurs can take ourselves out of this checklist and manifesto idea, which is fantastic, by the way, and really turn it into a scalable system where all of our businesses can start running more efficiently and more effectively. So without further ado, let's jump straight into it. So we've got David Jennings. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Oh, thank you for having me. Very excited for this episode.
So Dave is a good friend of mine from many, many moons ago. He's still someone that I still inadvertently see on the news and YouTube, on my Facebook feed a million times a day. He's a founder of Melbourne SEO Services, the CEO of System Hub, author of one of the best books I've read called Authority Content, and is an incredible speaker to go and watch live. He's been featured in things such as TEDx, WordCamp, ProBlogger, etc. And look, honestly, as an entrepreneur, it's safe to say that Dave is someone who has done it all. He's broken through many of the barriers that we're all facing day to day, and is someone that we can all learn from, including myself. So it's an absolute pleasure having you on, mate. So looking at the theme of today, do you want to talk us through how you got started or pulled or directed into the concepts of process creation in this systemology term in regards to scaling and growing a business?
Yeah, I had a few influences along the way when it comes to systems and processes, and it's hard to nut down or say one specific thing really got me to have that epiphany and wake up to systems and realize that they were the key to business. But I had a financial background that definitely played a big part of it. I used to trade the stock market and teach people how to do the same. And we would develop trading plans, and they were just simply a set of steps that you would predefine up front so that when you were in the market, you wouldn't have to think. Because oftentimes when you're investing, your emotions take over once your money is in the market, and those emotions tend to cause you to make bad decisions. So you'd have a preset of steps where you would identify when you weren't emotional, what you would do under certain circumstances. So there's definitely that early training there. And I also had the experience, a friend and I, one of the first businesses I started up, we ran a rock and roll clothing music store based here in Melbourne, Australia. And we built that up as a franchise store, and we got that up to 3 stores. So there were 2 head office owned stores and 1 franchise store. And going through that process, you know, following a lot of the eMyth methodology, and we knew to grow that business that we couldn't be in every single store. We needed to be in head office. So we needed to set up the systems and processes to make sure the store was run to a certain level. We also took a lot of inspiration from Disney, where Walt Disney wanted people, when they visited any of their theme parks, to really have this experience. And regardless of who came through at what point in time, they all experienced the same thing. They would reset the ride and the shops and the experience for someone. So the person who came in at 9 o'clock in the morning got the same experience as someone who came in at 5 o'clock in the evening. So with that experience, it was funny, as I then went on and set up Melbourne SEO and video, for the longest time, I actually resisted systems and processes because for some reason, I came up with all these excuses, and so many business owners do it. They come up with excuses as to why systems and processes won't work in their business. They'll say they don't have time. They'll say that their job is too creative. They'll say their team won't follow their systems, even if they get them into place. They think that they'll need too many systems. Like, there are so many different reasons that someone thinks it won't work. And one of the ones I had when I was in Melbourne SEO and video was, I said, well, Google's algorithm keeps on updating all the time. If I go ahead and document my systems and processes, they're going to be out of date next month. So there's no real point in doing it. And I resisted it for a long time, and that actually kept me trapped in Melbourne SEO and video. I was in that business for over 10 years. I probably, looking back now, I probably could have done what I needed to do in 3 to 5 years. So I was probably in there twice as long as I needed to be, because I came up with all these reasons why it couldn't be systemized. And then I did have a little bit of a breakthrough, an epiphany, which I was given a deadline. We were having our first child, and I decided I didn't want to be that business owner who was stuck in their business, working ridiculous hours and missing their child growing up. So I said, right, I need to go back to the basics, find out what's holding me in this business. And I kept on coming back to this idea of systems and processes. And then I started heading down that track of systemizing that business, which I did over the course of, it was about 12 months. And then the final step for me to prove that we'd built a profitable enterprise that worked without me was for me to completely exit from the day-to-day operations. And I hired a CEO. She now runs that business, and I am a business owner. She reports back to me around the KPIs and metrics that I need to see to make sure that we're heading in the right direction. And I help out with strategic direction. So it was that final step for me, which kind of really validated in a business that a lot of people think can't be systemized. We managed to systemize it to a point where I could remove myself. And that's really freed me up to focus full time now on System Hub, which has become a little baby of mine, and this whole school of thought and business philosophy we're calling systemology.
That's fantastic. So I guess if you were to play back over the last 12, even 24, potentially even 36 months, I know that a pinnacle was obviously the realization of having a child and saying, I need to get out. But at what point was that aha moment when you had, so you didn't want to build processes for Melbourne SEO services and video, but then you realized that you had to. At what point did your brain just go, aha, this is what I needed to do 5, 10 years ago. How did you realize that for yourself?
It was reading a lot of different books and listening to some industry leaders. Like, I remember just seeing a whole bunch of these quotes, and they just kept on coming up, where it was things like, I'd hear Michael Gerber, and he's talking about, you know, people come and go, but systems remain constant. And there was people like Dan Kennedy who said all wealth is built on systems. And I had this recurring theme. And deep down, it was weird. I did intuitively know systems was the key because I'd already done it with what we did with Planet 13. And I just couldn't figure out where that resistance was coming from. When you think about it, to build a business of scale and something that supports you, it has to work without you. I mean, it's part of that process. So if that's part of the process, okay, well, how does something happen without you? Well, someone else needs to be doing it. Okay. Well, if someone else needs to be doing it, how do they know what to do and to do it to a certain standard? For me, it seems so obvious now. It's almost hard to not see it. It's like one of those magic eye or one of those, visual tricks where you look at it and you see an old lady and you look at it a different way and you see a young woman. And then once you see the young woman, you can't not see her. And that's the way that I feel with business and systems and processes. It's fundamental building blocks. Business is simply a collection of systems.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that, especially the fire solution solver, right? So the person who just jumps on the most immediate solution. So I absolutely love where you're running through in regards to going through this systemology concept. So before we jump into the details of it, because I'm actually pumped up to get into it, after this session, do you think that every single person listening to this podcast will be able to scale their business with systemization or even systemology, if you will, just through these 7 steps?
If they follow the process and stick with it, it's like any process. To get the result, you have to go through the steps and you have to make it to the end. We've done it enough times now that I know this produces the desired outcome. So the short answer is yes, but I just wanted to explain that you have to go through it. Like anything, it's work. This isn't a magic bullet or a magic button that you can press that's going to deposit large amounts of cash into your bank account. But it will point you in the right direction to build a business like a machine that can operate without.
Yeah, absolutely love it. Look, let's get into the meat of the episode.
If you want to ask David or ask any questions, jump on Facebook and search for More Time, More Profit Group and ask away. All right, David, let's jump into it. I love your philosophy. I love your story around it, and we're on board. Tell me about systemology, the 7 steps to systemize any business. So what's the framework, the processes, all the steps at a very high level that allow you to get results within your business?
Systemology came from this idea after we developed some software that is called System Hub that houses standard operating procedures in the cloud. It's what we ended up using. I realized the software, it's not what the business owner wants. They don't really care what software is implemented. They want the result. And to get the result, there needs to be a process that they can follow. So I went back and looked at what we did in our business and listed out these 7 steps that I'll take you through. And then I started to test it with some of coaching clients. And then we tested with a few more people. And now we're taking our first group through the systemology course. It's a 7-step framework, which we can go down into each of the steps. The step one is about defining and understanding the flow within your business as far as once a client comes into contact with you all the way through to delivery. So step number 2 is to allocate, where we need to take some of the steps and systems identified in that previous step, and then we need to allocate them to departments, and we also need to identify roles within those departments, so that way we can start to assign responsibility and get team members to build those systems and processes for us. Then step number 3 is we need to look at the extraction process. How do we actually capture the step-by-step process and make it as easy as possible for the team member? Then we need to have a look at organization, thinking in terms of your business as the ultimate product here. That's something I learned from Michael Gerber. He talked about this idea when you're building a business, build it with the intention to sell it, even if you don't decide to sell it. And you take some of that thinking and you start to organize your systems and processes as though your business were the product. Then step number 5 is around the optimization. Now, a lot of people, what they try and do is do optimization earlier in the process when they're in the extraction phase and they're trying to capture. But I think just capture what you're doing first, because you're doing it anyway. And sometimes there's almost optimization just by giving it attention. It's that classic thing of what is measured is what is improved. So by looking at the way that you're doing things, you will improve it as you go. But then step number five is we actually put a magnifying glass on it to see if there are ways that we can improve it. Step number six is around integration, because I think this is actually one of the most underdone areas within business systemization, is how do you then get your team to follow the processes? All too often we see, you know, Jane who says, oh, why do I have to change the way I do things? Because this is the way I've always done things. Or maybe there's Joe who says, I don't want to show you what I'm doing. It's like they've created a black box around their job, which gives them low visibility, low accountability, and increases their job security. So there is a little bit of an art to how to integrate it with your team. It's all well and good when you get new team members on board. You can just say, hey, this is the way we do things. But for existing team members, there's a real process that you go through there. And then the final step is the scale. So once you figure out what Michael Gerber calls his franchise prototype, and you've got that down, then you start to look for scale. How do you identify the systems champion within the business? How do you develop your process for recruiting, onboarding, and building up your team members? How do you then start to implement things like KPI? So it's that seven-step process that I take people through now. It's defining your business. It's allocating those systems and processes to departments. We then look at extracting, how does that get documented, then how is it organized, then how do we optimize it, and then how to integrate. And I just thought it was important to go through those seven first at a high level, just so as we go through each one now, you can kind of understand where we're headed.
Sounds absolutely awesome. Absolutely love that framework. So what we'll do is we'll take the framework and we'll apply it to a bit of an example. So we'll run through an example for the people playing at home. And let's assume that there's a business and they've got an internal marketing department and their copywriter gives them 30 days notice that they're going to be quitting. The process down the track is we're going to have to hire a new copywriter. We're going to have to teach them how to write the blog, publish it on the WordPress site, syndicate some content, and promote through social media.
Yeah, okay. Well, in a situation like that where you've got a very specific deadline and timeline with this person leaving, you would probably actually just jump straight to extraction, step number three, because you want to, you've only got a limited time and you want to document as much as you can. Whether you are strategically approaching the systemization of your business or you've got a fire here that's, hey, you need to jump to step three to try and put out this fire before the person goes. There's always a risk, though, by jumping straight and skipping a step. And the risk being you end up documenting something that has low impact or isn't mission critical. Because if you're just starting out with the systemization of your business, there are hundreds of different things you could be systemizing. You could be systemizing how you take out the trash, but it's going to have low impact on the bottom line.
Maybe start by telling us when this is ideal to implement from step number one rather than leaving it too late with 30 days left.
Yeah, for sure. So once someone recognizes that systems and processes are key in their business and they've had that breakthrough, which is kind of, we tried to ignite that fire right at the start of the podcast. Once you've recognized that, then typically for me, systemization works best once the business is at least, I'd say, 7 to 10 staff. When you're smaller than that, sometimes when you do documentation, you can over-document. You're not really getting huge benefits from that documentation because the person who is doing the documentation is more than likely the person doing the task as well. And they oftentimes don't have the redundancy built in. And when you're just getting started and you're less than 7 employees, you're better off just having a real simple set of documents that you might save in Dropbox, and they're just text documents and there might be bullet points. But I think where systemology really comes into its own is once you're at that 10 employees plus, you realize you're very clear on who your target market is. You understand the products and services that you're selling. You understand the problems that that target market has and the problems that you're solving with your products and services. You are already getting a little bit of traction in that you've got customers, people are enjoying the experience that you're providing, you're getting good feedback and reviews, but the big hurdle here or problem here is the business owner is still the center cog in this machine. They're working 50, 60, 70 hours a week. Everything seems to run through them. They might have other team members around them that are helping support them, but they're given tasks, they're not given responsibilities. And there is a big difference between the two. You want to be assigning responsibilities. Hey, Sally, you're in control of accounts now, and here is the responsibility that of what I want you to look after underneath the accounts department. As opposed to, hey, Sally, I need you to send an invoice to Bob because he's just bought XYZ. Like, you want to assign the responsibility, and then that way people can be held accountable. So once you're in that situation where you've recognized you've built the business to a certain size, you are the bottleneck, you're that centerpiece, you realize systems and processes are the way through for you, that's perfect timing for systemology. And then the way that I would guide them through step number one, if let's say we have a look at that graphic design company, you would start off by saying, right, where are my leads coming from? Once we generate a lead, they get to the website, what do we actually want them to do? You want them to pick up the phone and call you. You might want them to fill out a form. Okay, once they've filled out the form, or they picked up the phone and called you, then what happens? Okay, we have a short discussion with them to determine whether or not we can help them. Okay, then what happens? Then we might introduce them to a salesperson. The salesperson digs a little bit deeper, then prepares a proposal and sends it out to them. Okay, then what happens? Well, the person needs to sign off and say, yes, they want to proceed with this product or service, and there's some sort of handover through to accounts and invoicing. Okay, then what happens? Then the client is onboarded, and there's some sort of updates as they're going through and they're getting their particular project. There's probably some sort of internal setting up of a project management tool or something to be able to oversee this whole project for this client. And you might have, you know, regular updates that you're sending out to the client. And then the final step, you know, you've got delivery and then handover. And there might be some other steps in there. But broadly speaking, the first step is to map out what I'd call mission critical flow. And you just focus on those systems and processes first. It's too easy to get distracted with, hey, I just read this cool course on Instagram and how to do these whiz-bagging things. Okay, let's make some systems and processes around there. Or, hey, I just did this awesome AdWords course. You get thrown off track based on opportunities, especially business owners. When they're earlier, they jump from opportunity to opportunity. So you just focus on bedding down the mission critical steps that deliver the thing that actually makes you money. And you systemize that first.
Brilliant. I think a great thing to come out of that is you just don't jump in at a department level. You actually go to the top of the actual triangle or the pyramid and start from the top and work your way down. So once we've actually got the workflow in place, let's talk about the allocation, how we allocate these out to each department or individual.
Yeah, and this is a lot of business owners, they are very strong in one or two particular areas. Oftentimes they'll be strong in operations because, you know, hey, I'm a hairdresser, or in this example, I'm a graphic design person. Hey, I think I can start a graphic design agency. Now they start a graphic design agency and then they realize that business has a lot of other pieces to it. So they'll be strong in one or two departments. It might be operations and maybe they're good at marketing, but it often means that they leave other areas unaddressed and they're typically weak, maybe in the finance area, or maybe their sales aren't as strong. So firstly, you need to recognize that business is made up of different departments. Some people have different names for them. Generally speaking, you know, it's things like sales, marketing, operations, which is the actual delivery of what it is that you're selling. You'll usually have finance and HR, potentially management. Again, there can be some different departments, but you just want to map out what are the departments that make most sense for the business. And then once you do that, the next step is you can start to drill down a little bit deeper underneath the departments and assign some of those steps or processes that we covered in the previous step. You can then start to assign them into some of the different departments. You also want to have a look at your organization. I used to think things like org charts and things like that were just not necessary, but the reason you have an org chart is so that you can assign responsibility. Again, there's a big difference when someone moves from what I call, you know, a stage one or stage two entrepreneur to a stage three, which is a systems entrepreneur. As you're moving through those stages, in the first two stages, business owners are very task driven. They're about setting out and assigning tasks, and they've got a big long to-do list of things needing to be done. As you bridge over to this next stage and break through, you need to think in terms of roles, not necessarily people. So you have your departments, you assign different roles underneath those departments. Oftentimes, though, if this is, you know, depending on the size of the organization, you might just have one person that takes control of an entire department. For slightly larger teams, sometimes you might have one person who heads up the department, but then you might also have some sub roles underneath that. So you kind of map it out, and then you start to allocate the systems to the relevant person. Because the other insight is that the business owner is the worst person within the organization to be doing documented systems and processes. You really don't want to leave that up to the business owner. They're busy enough as it is. And then once we kind of identify those core departments, then we've got a little process that we go through, which then helps to prioritize, to think about which departments you focus on first. And then you move to the next step, which is that extraction phase, which is, okay, well, now we've started to allocate. We know what are the mission critical components. We know we break the business up. We identify the roles, and then usually you'll assign a person to a role. And then it becomes much clearer as to whose responsibility it is, at least to do the first extraction and capture. It's a good idea through this process as well. We have a thing we call the systems champion. Again, depending on the size of the business, you really want someone to oversee the systemization of this. Not necessarily mission critical, but it just makes it so much easier if you've got someone overseeing globally this process. And then they can be assigning out to the individual team members to look at documenting the systems and processes that are relevant to them.
Yeah, love it. And then organizing the systems and processes?
Yeah, so that you need to find a tool that will house the standard operating procedures, systems, processes, and checklists. There's a few things that you need to think about. It needs to be intuitive to use. Feature bloat is actually a bad thing. I think anytime complexity comes into the equation, complexity is the enemy of systems. So you want to reduce that complexity as much as possible. You think in terms of setting up the business based on those different departments we talked about, almost like a folder-like structure. Then you think in terms of, if someone were to want to buy this business, what is it that they're looking for? They want to make sure that this business continues to operate past the point of the business owner leaving. So you want to have every aspect of the business covered and documented. There's also a process you can go through which helps to identify those missing pieces, those loopholes. We kind of dive deep into this section, obviously being a little bit biased with System Hub. Like, that's our platform that we built to house businesses' standard operating procedures in the cloud. I tried a few, and we tried a lot of different ones over the years, and just nothing ended up doing it the way I believed that it needed to be. Oftentimes it was overcomplicating things. They would try and join project management with document management, which meant they ended up doing neither very well. Project management, who does what by when, is a very different function to what we're talking about here, which is the actual how-to. So yeah, it's preparing it all into a tidy package that can then be shared with the potential buyer. Or, like I said, even if you don't even end up selling, just going through this process gets you to build the business the right way and something that's quite scalable.
So let's run through the next couple of points. So I think the key critical part is really understanding how you're going to structure it overall. So stepping into point five, so how do we optimize the process?
Yeah, look, optimization, it's probably not something that we can go into great detail in this session. We probably need a little bit longer, but it's some optimization will happen by default. As in, once you actually capture it, the process of capturing will get the person doing the task to logically think through the steps, even if they haven't thought through them before. And then that will actually fill in the blanks by that. There's a level of optimization that happens at that level. There's also a level of optimization that happens afterwards where you start to identify where the fires are cropping up in your business. Once you've got your core mission critical systems down, if you think about business as you're just problem solving, you're really identifying where things are going wrong, and then you deploy a system or a process to fix that. So then a process happens of identifying, well, what's going on in the business and actually listening to your business and optimizing that way based on what you're actually seeing. There's also another level you can go through where you then start to build in a consultant who may have eyes outside of the business who can then make recommendations and suggestions. The real key is always reducing complexity. You want to make sure that you get some measures in place for you to be able to actually improve things. You need to be able to measure it. Peter Drucker talked a lot about that. And once you get measuring, you want to start to look at, you know, how quickly is something getting done? What is the quality output? What is the cost of doing that? And what is the waste there as well? So going through that process with the view to simplify will help you move through step number 5, which is the optimize.
Yeah. And then to wrap up the last two. So we've got integrations. Is that just integrating it into other systems, or is that just merging departments together?
So integration is actually getting your team to follow it. That, in my opinion, is the most important step in the entire process, because a system really isn't worth anything if no one's actually following it. So it's all well and good to have your systems documented and centrally stored and you've got them, but that doesn't mean anything if no one's actually following them. So we have a process that we take people through to get the buy-in from the team member, help them to understand what is the benefit to them. They'll be able to take holidays and come back and not have an inbox filled with hundreds of emails because it's much easier to delegate. There's also other benefits to them. They'll be able to move up in the organization by being able to document what they're doing and then pass some of those tasks to more cost-effective team members. The team member needs to understand what the benefit is to them rather than what most team members think when you start doing some of this documentation. Oh, great, you're going to take some of these tasks and move my job offshore. No, that's not the reason for doing it. The reason for doing it is to create opportunities for them. So there's strategies that you want to go through with them, the way that you integrate it with scoreboards and bonuses and reward and tying positive result that you want them to take to reinforce the systemization of the business. So that's really what the integration phrase is about.
Yeah, and then the final point is just it's the scalability of it all.
Yeah, and the scale at that point really comes down to, okay, we've built up something that we know we can work with here. A system is just a consistent set of steps that provides a consistent outcome. So once you know you're getting the consistent outcome, you can then really start to grow. Most business owners, they really focus on straight away. They're looking at sales and marketing. You know, they want to get more leads. But the real art is once you get to this point I talked about is you focus on capacity. If you can build up capacity and you can deliver a consistent result that someone is willing to pay you money for, then you're really set for scale at that point in time. Then it's about finding the right people. Once you've found them, how do you onboard them, get them into your company? And if you think about this idea, every business really is a school. And the whole aim of the game is how do you take these students and then get them up to a level where they can practice in the least possible moves with the least possible cost investment. So the onboarding and the education component is absolutely critical here. And also for scale, that's when you also need to start to introduce some of the management systems and processes. Once you do that, you can really start to ramp things up.
Absolutely brilliant. Grant, I know you've been scribbling away in your notepad there frantically. Do you have some points or give us a wrap-up of the framework that people can go into the office tomorrow and start implementing the systemology into their own businesses so they can step out of their businesses?
Yeah, look, I absolutely love it. I think the first thing I'd say is jump onto Systems Hub, have a look through systemology because there is quite depth to this. So there's 7 key points, right? So the first one is we have to define the flow. And really the easiest way to do this is just create a mind map of every step that happens through a sales process, marketing, operations, customer support, etc., right? Everyone must realize that there's a process that a typical customer, not the 10%ers, all walk through. And it's really just focusing on the mission critical flow. Step 2 is then we want to look at the allocation of the processes into roles and departments. So we want to map out the departments, then assign the flow items we got from point 1 into each department. We can then organize them into different roles if our organization is large enough, and also set a priority of what we need to build in regards to our priority. Number 3 is the extraction of steps for the processes. So firstly, find the person who will oversee all of the documentation. Find the method of extraction, whether it's video, screencasts, steps, or checklists, or anything like that. We also then need to make sure that what we've extracted is in a format where we can teach a secondary person, meaning that once that person's learnt it, can they actually go and teach somebody else. The fourth step is organization of systems and processes. So simplicity of a tool is key, right? We really want to just think of it like we're structuring folders and subfolders, and we don't want to go much further down than that. And a key tool to use is systemshub.com. Step five is optimizing the process. So it's really important to realize that capturing the process is the first step to optimization. We then want to recognize the constant issues and problems in firefighting that we need to always solve, and then improve and update those processes, whilst also looking for other gaps. So what steps have we missed, such as invoicing, client touch points, etc., that we should go and put in? And the final part of that is really, we'll go and get some consultants if we need to in order to get their recommendation. Step six is integration. And this is, I think this is one of the most important points out of everything, which is where we need to ensure the team uses these processes. We need to sell the team on the processes, such as how they can then take holidays, sick leave's not going to be stressful, they can do more valuable work because now they're not doing the lowest level work, delegation, etc. And this revolves around team training using our processes and systems as well, and then integrating it into scorecards, KPIs, and incentives. And the seventh final point is scalability. It's really the key to everything that we've already run through, which is once we're not getting all of these fires and gaps and problems, we can then start scaling it up and removing ourselves and making other people accountable to everything. And it really just emphasizes and focuses on the capacity improvement of our organization, as opposed to just trying to document something. How'd it go in summarizing that, Dave?
There you go. I think just publish those last 3 minutes and that'll be the podcast.
Dave, it's been absolutely awesome having you on today, and we really appreciate your insights. Can you tell us where we can go to find out a little bit more about you, your website, social media, or something that you wish to promote?
Best place to go is to systemhub.com. There's the system for creating systems, which is a system that you can give to a team member, and it goes through the step-by-step process of extraction. It's effectively step number three in the process, so you can go download that at systemhub.com, and socially on that page as well.
Fantastic. We'll put those links in the show notes for people playing along at home. We'll be continuing this conversation over at Facebook. You can go to Facebook and search for More Time, More Profit Group and join in the conversation with us there.
Thanks, everyone. Don't forget to jump onto iTunes, click subscribe, and let us know exactly what you've taken away from this podcast with Dave.
That's it from us. We'll catch you the same bat time, the same bat channel next week. It's bye for now.
Catch you later, everybody. Ciao.
You've just been listening to More Time, More Profit Podcast. For more info, check out moretimemoreprofit.com. Make sure to tune in at the same time next week for another dose of real-life business strategies.